Yes, indeed. We're live here at the Belfry, Kerry, today, this morning, coming to you with a special programme in association with the Tralee Chamber Alliance in partnership with CSG. We're having a debate for the Tralee local electoral area, and we have seven of the candidates who are looking for your votes over the next while. We have Councillor Mikey Sheehy of Fianna Fáil, Councillor Sam Locke, Independent. We have Angie Bailey from Fine Gael. We have Ben Slim, who's running for the Labour Party. We have Independent candidate Thomas McAllistrum, Paul Daly, who is seeking your vote for the Sinn Féin Party, and Anlan Dunn from the Green Party. Good morning to all of you, and thanks for joining us on this wet and damp Monday morning here in Tralee. We have a comment in here from a listener, Jerry Cornan, who says, the philosophy of the GAA apparently is our purpose to promote Gaelic games, culture and lifelong participation as a community-based volunteer-led organisation which enriches lives and communities. With so many high-profile hurling and football games behind a paywall, where is this philosophy now? Instead of promoting Gaelic games, they're actually demoting them. Fabulous hurling and football hidden away from our young would-be participants, said. I don't know if any of you has an answer on GAA goals, but I won't ask you that question. If you have any views on that, get in touch with us. We're going to start, though, by talking about issues to do with Tralee and issues to do with a survey which was carried out by the Tralee Chamber Alliance of its members, and a number of different things that were put to them. They were asked a question. I'll give you just a flavour of some of them, and we'll go from there. Which of the following is the most important to you? This is Tralee Chamber Members Survey. Small active business grants, 18% of candidates. Town centre first policy, 33%. Tackling vacancy and dereliction, 48.8%. Another question, has your business been impacted by rate increases? A majority, around 55%, said yes. What are the challenges currently facing your business? As getting skilled employees, increased cost and difficulty in attracting and retaining capable staff, high VAT, high energy costs, general inflationary food costs as well, impossible running costs as a kind of a catch-all statement on that, a lack of focus on the east side of town, and in particular, one of the strongest findings coming through was antisocial behaviour, no Gardaí on duty, antisocial behaviour, diminished footfall, reduced visitor numbers, and massive increase on costs. So I'm going to start with that on the programme this morning. What can the council and local authority, what role does the local authority play, or what would you do if you were elected to try and tackle the issue of antisocial behaviour? The Joint Policing Committee of Kerry County Council met on Friday, and one of the issues there was the number of families who were under pressure from drug debt or paying off drug debt. Since 2022, there have been 20 reported cases of drug intimidation and threats in Kerry, usually to do with drug debt. So it's all in a similar sort of area. I'm going to start with you this morning, Anlan Dunn of the Green Party. What's your response? What would you do if you were on Kerry County Council to try and use the local authorities' powers, such as they are, to help with issues like that in Tralee?
Thanks, Jerry, and a pleasure to be here this morning. I think we have a massive problem with youth engagement in the town. From when I was a teenager, there's been very little for teens to be able to do, and for young people. And so we see them hanging out in the park, or we see them hanging around the playground, because they literally have nowhere else to go. We've built a skate park up at the sports complex, which has been a very much a positive, but that wider engagement for youth outside of team sports is not being addressed, has never been addressed in the last 20, 25 years. And something I'd be focusing on quite a bit, creating space for teens to be. They're noisy, that's perfectly fine, that's a normal teen behaviour, and allowing them space to just be themselves. There's also absolutely nothing for teenage girls to do if they're not involved in sports, and we've seen a massive drop-off in sporting activity for teenage girls from the age of 15 onwards. They've got nothing to do either, so they either hang around in town or they hang around at home scrolling their phones. So I think we very much need to look at that. We also need more community spaces. The town centre itself has no significant community space which can be used for seminars or events. We've got a fabulous site in the Island of Geese that such a facility could be built upon, and that would have a connection to the town centre and would draw footfall in as well, crucially. We've seen it very successful across small market towns in France and other places where there's a regular market on a regular day of the week, footfall increases on that day, and you can run arts events there then to aid with the nighttime economy. Like you mentioned earlier on, the pubs are suffering, but the offering hasn't changed in a long time. And I think we need to be supporting both the nighttime economy and getting people in the evening. That means being able to get them home safely. We've still got no bus service, etc. So there's a lot of areas I'd like to be focusing on, but those two particularly, a community space, an art space, and something for the kids to do.
Okay, Independent Councillor Sam Locke, what's your response to that? Antisocial behaviour in the town, trying to get more people involved, trying to help businesses with footfall that will be prevented from coming in because of issues to do with that?
Well, Alan picked on something there, but first and foremost, thanks for the invitation, Jerry, and thanks to the people of Kerry for the opportunity to address some of these issues. We have that situation in Tralee for a hell of a long time. There is an issue with the KDYS closure and facilities like that to be able to entertain our children. There is the complex. We have massive investment in the Tralee Sports and Leisure Centre. Kids could join up there. There is a good attraction up there. We have new investment in there. There is a proposal for a centre, I suppose, in the Isle of Geese that would be incorporated in there for young people that we could address and have a space for them. In the issue where we have a lot of antisocial behaviour in the town centre, it is down to drugs culture.
Yeah.
That drugs culture has escalated beyond control. We have areas inside in the town park that are no-go areas, and I've called on Kerry County Council to remove a structure below there that is quite intimidating, and hopefully that they will see the light there and get rid of that. Any place where young people can congregate to associate themselves with the drugs culture. And I've seen it for myself, Joey. You go down there and you see needles, you see paraphernalia, drug paraphernalia, spewed around the place. It is time that the guards got the upper hand of this. They are short of staff. They cannot go on the beat because they don't have the numbers. We need to increase that there, so the safety aspect of it. But as I said, we're looking at it as we have progressed over the last 5 years to address areas that could be facilitated for our young people to go to and have that kind of structure, a safe, healthy environment. But it is down to education and educating our young people at a very early age inside their school where the drugs culture is leading them. And look at what the result of if you get involved with this drugs culture. We've had families going to the credit union, borrowing thousands of euro to pay off these drug dealers. There's only one cure for that, Jerry, and that's jail. Jail for those that debt collectors that are going around collecting that money and intimidating people, putting people's lives at risk.
Okay. Ben Slim at the Labour Party, what's your response to those issues and how they affect Tralee Town Centre?
Yeah, Gerry, thanks. And thanks very much to yourself and Radio Kerry and Tralee Chamber for organising this morning. It's really a pleasure to be here. I suppose I'm a bit disappointed to hear the two previous answers firmly blame all of the antisocial behaviour in Tralee on youth and young people. And then we'll be having a conversation at some stage later on about why young people don't want to stay in Tralee, why they want to get out of Dodge as quickly as possible, and that we're not attracting business here and we're not attracting employers. I think if you look at the history of Tralee, the main problem in the antisocial behaviour in Tralee stems from the non-availability of long-term well-paying jobs. I think if you look at, if you contrast similarly to the north of England, they had a total collapse of industry in the 80s, and the result of that collapse of industry was a humongous, in the 90s, increase of heroin use in that area. And I think our drug problem and our drug culture in Tralee, number one, comes from it's cheaper to use certain drugs than it is to drink alcohol. And number two comes from the idea that there's a lot of people out there that feel fairly hopeless, that their parents would have gone to work in our factories in the Clash industrial state, and now they don't have that future here in Tralee. Those kind of jobs just don't exist.
You're talking in an era of full employment, I might remind you.
Absolutely, but is it the employment...
Tralee Plitter.
Absolutely, we do have full employment, but do we have full, long-term, well-paying employment in Tralee? I would argue that we don't. We look at Dublin and Cork. We can say absolutely those statistics work, but they don't work in Tralee. We do have a situation where we don't have spaces in the town for young people to congregate. But when I go into town with my son and we go for our walk in Tralee Town Park, I, number one, have seen an increase in antisocial behaviour, but I would argue that there's just as many adults involved in the antisocial behaviour. And when I think about what we need to do, we need to increase the Gardaí on the streets, and that's actually what needs to be there. The old-fashioned Gardaí being visible on the streets, and I know our Gardaí do this as much as they possibly can, but when we've had a fall in Garda numbers, now they're saying there's been an increase, but it's minuscule. It doesn't serve the population that we now have. And then secondly, I do think that we do need to increase our nighttime economy. I think, unlike our neighbours in Dingle and Killarney, we struggle to actually attract people into our town. Tralee is seen as a flyover town. You know, you pass through it to get to Dingle, or you go past it to get to Killarney, or you stay here because the hotel rooms are cheaper and then you go out somewhere else. And I think that's something we need to tackle. And again, if I look to examples in other countries like the US and Ireland and the UK, they've introduced schemes through their county council, like night mayors, for example, someone that is employed or a team that are employed, and their task is to increase participation in nighttime activities in the town. Unfortunately, a lot of this responsibility has fallen to the chamber and its members, and it's not sustainable to continue that.
Councillor Mikey Sheehy Fianna Fáil, what's your response to what Ben said in the overall issue?
Yeah, good morning. Delighted to be here. Thanks to Tralee Chamber for organising this event. I suppose, look, the previous three responses have been fairly doom and gloom. I'm born and reared in Tralee. I'm very pro-Tralee man. I think Tralee has made massive strides over the last number of years in terms of its brand and its product that has been driven both by the Tralee Municipal District and organisations like the Tralee Chamber Alliance. I think we're on a really firm footing. I think we're in a really good space in Tralee Town. That being said, I agree there are issues. There are ongoing issues. You mentioned drug intimidation around debt and debt landing on families' doorsteps.
Not a Tralee-only problem,
it's not,
either.
It's I actually sat on the Drug and Alcohol Task Force for three out of the last 5 years, which is a Munster-based organisation specifically for Cork and Kerry. I actually initiated a drug debt intimidation scheme, which is now being rolled out through Cork and Kerry, just to let families know, if there's someone listening in, there is point of contacts in every Garda station in the county with a specific Garda who is responsible for dealing with those issues. It's a scourge on our society, there's no doubt about that. It's hitting every parish, every townland, every town, every county, every sports club in the country. There's no two ways about that. How can we address it? Obviously, Garda resources are an issue. It's something I've been calling for over the course of the last 5 years. I grabbed the opportunity 3.5 years ago when the opportunity arose to sit on the steering group with the Tralee Chamber Alliance. It's a position I've held over the last 3.5 years. I'm very proud of the work that the Chamber have done in conjunction with Kerry County Council. And an ongoing issue that has arisen is in and around Garda visibility. Ben just touched on it there. There's no two ways about it. As recently as about 4 or 5 months ago, myself and the Chamber met directly with the Gardaí in Tralee, Donal Horgan, who heads up community policing. Yes, visibility is the number one key issue for Gardaí on the beat in Tralee. It's widely regarded and it's widely known that that visibility is a deterrent in terms of stamping out antisocial behaviour and in terms of dealing with issues like shoplifting and whatnot. So yes, it is an issue in Tralee Town, but I don't want the Tralee brand to be eroded here today. I think there's been huge strides made over the last number of years. Yes, it is a very difficult space to be in terms of operating as a business at the moment. There are increased costs. You touched on a few of them there, even in around new pension arrangements, minimum wage, new reporting in around travel expenses for companies. They're all additional costs, but obviously just to make businesses aware that increased cost of business grant was available. Like you said, it covered up to 50% of rates increases on last year, up to a maximum of €10,000. The uptake was quite low. I have spoken to the Minister in this regard. It will have to be reviewed. I have no doubt about that. And I would be hopeful that it will be opened up again. But it's just to make businesses aware that there are grants, there are supports out there. And look, it's just trying to support business as much as we can. As you just alluded to there, Gerry, we're in a space at the moment where the country's at full employment. You know, we are in a good space. Is it going to be perfect? No, it's never going to be perfect, but we're always striving for that perfect
okay.
level.
Okay, all right. Independent Councillor Thomas McElstrom, can I ask you your response to what needs to happen on the antisocial issue and maybe supports for businesses to increase footfall into Tralee?
Good morning, Gerry, and good morning, listeners. And thanks to the Chamber for organising this morning also. I suppose antisocial is a very big problem, but it's not just a problem in Tralee. I suppose it's a problem in all the major towns all around the country. And it's definitely an issue, it's a big issue, and it's something that has come up on the doorsteps quite a lot when I was going around. I think we need, I suppose, the solution to this really more Garda presence on the streets and the old-fashioned way of the guards who used to walk the beat. And also, I suppose, in the green as well, it also came up that they wanted more Garda presence in the green. I suppose I believe we have to develop, you know, and improve facilities for the young people and more sports, recreation and youth facilities are going to be important for Tralee. And we need to promote and support sporting activities for the young people in Tralee town. So that's the big thing, really. It's more Garda presence, really, in Tralee, in the town centre, and in the green.
OK. Paul Daly, Sinn Féin, what's your response to those issues?
Deaver Madden, thanks for having me on this morning. A couple of issues there, I suppose. First of all, we were all teenagers once. Look, you kind of, someone said, it's a kind of a tricky time when you're a teenager, hanging around, there's not really an awful lot to do. I think the Island of Geest, there's a perfect opportunity there to provide a social amenity for teenagers to hang out, maybe something in the lines of a basketball court, small football pitch, that could be used in the centre of town. There is no other facility in the centre of town where kids can go and play if they want to hang out there. Another thing is, like, massive strides have been made in the last couple of years in the centre of town to build up, the people have mentioned the town park. I mean, it's a fantastic facility. It needs to be promoted more. The Garda presence, there's less Gardaí now in Kerry than there was pre-COVID. For various reasons, among them, I suppose, the cost of living, the fact that people going into the guards are struggling to make ends meet, so they're leaving. So there needs to be more recruitment of Gardaí, and the visible presence in Gardaí does, in town does work. We saw last year the Rose Festival was very, very successful. The Chamber of Lines, the County Council, different stakeholders brought together a fantastic street festival where everyone was able to go out and enjoy themselves. And a visible Garda presence does make a massive difference there. They're under huge pressure, the Gardaí, to be
somebody,
here, there, and
everywhere. Some of the answers here on that is a national question rather than a local question, make it more attractive to be in the Guards. But is that the point you're making, that you need to support them locally?
Absolutely. I mean, look, whether it be community policing, there just needs to be more of a Garda presence in town. It has to be visible. And when they are visible, it does work. I've been on the canvas now for about the last 2.5 months, and it's come up on the doorstep. It's come up talking to local businesses. I was talking to one lady at the weekend. She said her front, the window of the premises was smashed in 1 or 2 weeks ago. And that can be very intimidating. It's very dispiriting for local businesses. So we need to give teenagers, we need to give people who are involved in antisocial behaviour something else to do. I mean, no one goes out intentionally to be involved in antisocial behaviour. It's usually out of boredom. I've talked to other people on the canvas. They've talked about open drug dealing in different parts of the town and neighbourhoods in other parts of the town. Again, the guards are struggling to kind of be here, there and everywhere. There needs to be an increased Garda presence. It needs to be visible. The town is making huge strides. The last couple of years, the centre town has become a much more vibrant, open, enjoyable place to be in. And that just needs to be supported with all the stakeholders.
OK. Angie Bailey Fine Gael, what's your view on this? As Paul said there have been improvements, there have been increases, millions of euros spent in the public realm in Tralee, but there are still issues for businesses, we've heard.
Morning, Gerry, and thank you to Radio Kerry and the Chambers for having us all here today. That there are issues, and even when you go downtown, we can all see that it does need an injection. There is something more needed in the town to attract people there. We can look at all the vacant buildings and what can be done with these buildings to increase the footfall into the town. Could we have some sort of pop-up shops, depending on the time of the year? Could we have different seminars? I mean, we are an incredible education town. We probably have a higher rate of educational campuses than any other towns in the city, and I think this is something that we should really be working on. In terms then of getting more people into town, I'm part of a community volunteer group, and we work hard with our different activities to be visible in the town. But it's impossible to get volunteers. When you have volunteers and you apply for funding, it's almost like a mountain of paperwork just to get a couple of pounds to keep your community organisation running. If we can support volunteer groups to have their activities in the town centre without all of this paper pushing, I believe we could make big strides in having different events in the town, making it more visible. I think a bit of paint in the town buildings as well wouldn't go astray, and I don't think this has to be the responsibility of those renting the small, their own small businesses, because they're already crippled with cost. I also think that the square, I mean, if you walk down there on a wet day, you nearly have to, a crutch, to, because otherwise you'll end up slipping. It's pretty much like a concrete jungle. And I know that there is the argument that if you plant lots of nice flowers, they may be pulled up by the antisocial behaviour. Jerry, I believe that antisocial behaviour, there's different types of antisocial behaviour. Sometimes the only thing that works are fines. You need to hit people where it hurts. Money hurts, because no one likes giving money away. In terms of when people look at youth and call that antisocial behaviour, there are no more youth clubs. I used to go to youth clubs, and we'd have the youth club discos, we'd dance our hearts out. Now we have the young children who are looking at their phone, but they have no outlet for this energy. They're not bad kids. I have a couple of teenagers myself, but we do need to be providing that in conjunction with bringing up all the support for businesses to make our town more attractive, because when you have that footfall, it's going to increase business. We have some businesses in town that have had to close for up on 2 hours with full staff inside because of young kids drinking outside at around Halloween. If they were at a youth club disco, then they may not be drinking otherwise in the middle of the square.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we're going to keep going with the debate here with our seven candidates for the Tralee electoral area, of seven of the candidates for the Tralee electoral area, looking for your number one ahead of the local elections. One of our listeners gets in touch with us and says, this is Mary, she says, the capital town of Kerry, Tralee has no network of bus routes within the town. That makes it near impossible for many residents to move around the town without the use of a car. What would your vision of a good public transport be for the town, and when might we expect to see it rolled out? Mikey Sheehy, Fianna Fáil, what's your answer?
Thanks, Jerry. That's a really, really good question. This is coming from Mary, and it's a topic I've been pushing for over the last 5 years. Actually, as recently as our municipal district meeting 2 weeks ago, I had a motion down the question regarding transportation in our town, and the lack of, really, being honest about it. I suppose one of the big issues for businesses in town is talk of traffic and traffic congestion. One of the key ways of alleviating that is through a sufficient bus service that we unfortunately don't have currently. So look, what I'm looking for in terms of ambition for Tralee Town, and I suppose if you were to put us parallel to other large towns throughout the country, the likes of Carlow, Wexford, they all have Ennis in County Clare, very like ourselves in size and stature. They all have functioning bus services, and unfortunately Tralee has been left behind in this regard. So look, what I've been calling for over the last number of years and will continue to push for is a functioning bus service for Tralee, not just for the Tralee Town Centre, but also linking the town centre with certain areas, the likes of Ardfert, Blennerville, further afield out to Kerry Airport, which I think would be a key and crucial aspect to that, funnelling in as many tourists as we possibly can back into the Tralee Town Centre to support businesses.
Okay, Paul Daly, Sinn Féin.
Alright, Jerry, just a couple of things there. First of all, not just Tralee, I think Ardfert and Fianna need to be brought in here. The connectivity between the places surrounding Tralee needs
to
be improved.
An option to leave their car at home if they want to go from Fianna to Ardfert or to Tralee.
There needs to be an increase in the public transport in all towns surrounding Tralee, and Ardfert, Fianna, out by Corryheen, an increase in the service, the frequency of it. You know, if you're dropped into town at 9 o'clock, you don't want to be hanging around until maybe 5 o'clock if you just have a few things to do. Also, the Greenway has been fantastic. But the Greenway only stretches out as far as Fianna. You know, that needs to be extended out, maybe even out to Ardfert. It needs to be used as a public, kind of more of a public facility in town, so people can get off, you know, get out of the car and can cycle. I'm living up in Oak Park. Right? I have two kids who are in secondary school. I would not let them cycle down the road. There's no cycle lane down the Oak Park Road. It's not safe for them to cycle. I'd say most of us here, when we went to secondary school, we cycled to school. I certainly did until I left secondary school. I just wouldn't let it. The roads are too busy. So you need to have increased connectivity into the centre of town from every part of town, not just cycle lanes in the, you know, 200 yards coming up to a school. It needs to be all over town, and not just a line in the road. Maybe it should be a different colour. It could be off-road. There is plans to bring the Greenway up the river there as far as Killeen. that needs to be developed. So okay. that people have the option of not getting into the care.
And Lon Dunne, I'm going to go to you. You've talked a lot about this over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I find it extremely frustrating that money is being given to actually develop these pieces of infrastructure, including, as Paul mentioned, interconnectivity. Having fragments of infrastructure in place is not good enough. Millions has been provided. We still haven't seen any delivery on the ground in Tralee. We do see now the cycle provision being made in Killarney, but I completely agree that we need to have the satellite towns connected, because this is good for business. If you're not spending money on petrol or diesel or charging your car, you can be spending it in local businesses. If you're cycling into town, the evidence is there that you'll see a 40% increase in trade from those who are cycling, because they've got the money to spend. They'll spend longer in the town, and the town needs to be a destination in its own right. We've got a greenway, which is fabulous, but you can't get onto it if you're on the what's referred to as the skinny mile, the urban section. There's only one or two access points. So if you're living in Carslea or if you're living further up the greenway, you can't get on. And that's preventing people from getting into the town and spending money. There's also not enough bicycle parking anywhere. For what limited bus service we have in the Tralee People's Bus, there's not a bus stop to be found. And we need to be looking at what can a local councillor do, and it is delivering a bus stop. It is ensuring that the council is delivering on what they've committed to with regards to developing an active travel network, which is wider footpaths. It's good for people with disabilities. They need to be able to cross the road. I live up in Oak Park, same as Paul. You cannot get down if you're walking down the Oak Park road.
So is it the local authority to provide the infrastructure, fight the fight with Bus Éireann on a national level, but also fight the infrastructure to make it hard to turn down a request for more buses?
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't got visibility, then you're not going to have people championing the cause for more public transport. We've seen a rural bus roll out by this government every week for the past number of years. We're going to see a new bus rolling out very shortly that is going to provide connectivity to Venet. We're going to see a new bus, or we have seen a new bus, or increased frequency for the bus that goes to Ardfert. So these are now 7 days a week services. There's no point in having a bus on a Wednesday and another one on a Friday, so you can just come in to get your pension and then go home. You need to be able to get the bus every day of the week and come in and spend that money in our local shops and not online or anywhere else. You need to spend that money in your butcher and your baker and everybody else.
Okay, we have 7 of the 16 candidates that are looking for your number one vote in the Tralee local electoral area. We have Councillor Mikey Sheehy of Fianna Fáil, Councillor Sam Locke, Independent, Angie Bailey from Fine Gael, Ben Slim from Labour, Thomas McElliston was running Independent, Paul Daly of Sinn Féin, and Anne Lon Dunne of the Green Party. And we are going and putting them through their paces in terms of what we are talking about. This is all with thanks to the Tralee Chamber Alliance in partnership with CSG. The Tralee Chamber Alliance carried out a survey of their members as well, and we're feeding some questions in from them. Some of the views that have come in on staff shortages: are people still reluctant to come off social welfare to take a job due to the loss of benefits? Terry Boyle from the Tralee Taxi Association says, how is the panel proposed to deal with the ongoing issue of youths hanging around Tralee's town centre, particularly the evening time and in the mall and square areas of the town? Those youths are very intimidating to people on their own, and Gardaí don't seem to have the numbers to put foot patrols on the streets. And another listener says, can anything be done about the traffic congestion in Tralee at the school starting and finishing times? I suppose that the wider question of that would be more people cycling to and from school, which is the public transport infrastructure discussion that we're having. Bus service: MTU student living in Mount Hawk, Tralee, there is no bus service running to either the north or the south campus, says this listener. So, okay, those issues and public transport, we're talking about it. Ben Slim, what's your review on even that? You work in the MTU. What would you like to see in terms of the bus service virtually or public transport, cycling infrastructure to get people out of cars, perhaps make it easier to move around?
Yeah, so I do work at MTU, and we see students which traditionally would have been living in student accommodation providers, but unfortunately those are full now, and we have lost a lot of the independent accommodation that we would have had, so this is pushing our students further and further out. And I've heard of situations with students living out as far as Castle Gregory, Killorglan, Castlemaine, and having to get into Tralee for college. So I think a public transport system is, we badly really need significant investment in public transport. I can't understand how we're in 2024. We had this conversation in 2019 when I ran, and we're having it again now, and nothing seems to have changed for Tralee in this regard. As for that student in Mount Hawk, I'd very simply say to them, have you made staff in the university aware? Because continually the university is trying to make arrangements for students no matter where they are. And if there does need to be a change to the bus service that does run in a circular route around Tralee, we can work to make those adjustments and facilitate any student, because we love to have them here. But I don't want to sound and repeat a lot of the points that have been made previously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the investment in our public transport, my mother is a wheelchair user. She cannot get from Pine Court into the town centre and back with the battery on her wheelchair. We need a public transport system to help those elderly and disabled people that cannot access the town. Luckily for her, she's right next door to Manor West, but that does nothing to our town centre.
Yeah.
That doesn't help our town.
Yeah, okay. Angie Bailey, Fine Gael.
Thanks, Gerry. I know that even up in Mount Hawk, we've been working on the safe routes to school, but progress on this is too slow. And if progress on this speeds up, then we can have a lot of more student cycling, which means parents don't have to be driving their kids. They can rest assured that they will get there and get there safely. But we need to expedite all these different things. I'd also agree with what Ben said in terms of mobility for users who may even have mobility issues, and we need to be able to rent out little cars or something for these people. I've heard it several times at the door. They do it in other places, and it's something that gives them then the freedom to move around the town. Also, I think also some of the bus stops we have in town, like out in Blenerville, they're not visible. There's no sign there, so we also need visibility. In terms then of even moving forward, when I was a student, many years ago, I used to get Kennedy's bus from Galway down into Tralee. That no longer exists. I've spoken to Kennedy's. They can't get bus drivers. Our students now are driving. That's also increasing the number of cars on the road. Until we can provide a proper Tralee to local areas, and I'd also include Ballymac and the Fianna and Ardfert, and also further afield to Galway and Limerick and Cork, we're going to have cars, and we're going to have excess number of cars as the number of college students continue to go to college, back to education. People are going to be driving unless it's more accessible. And that also includes less mobile users.
Okay. Councillor Sam Locke, what's your response to what needs to be done here?
Well, first and foremost, we've had a massive investment by the Tralee Bus Service that has been going on for years. And I must compliment them on the way that they have operated from Blenerville and in and around Tralee to assist and try and reduce the number of vehicles travelling around from A to B in shops. The alternative there is that CIE and Bus Éireann need to come on board with this issue. We have no connectivity from Dingle on a regular basis, no connectivity from Ardfert, from Fianna on a regular basis, and Abbey Dorney, the likes of that. We've introduced link roads where there are new roads coming on play, and it's time that these companies could get involved and have some form of a regular bus service coming in and around Tralee. Bus stops inside in Éireann Road, Éireann could be connected to the Tralee People's Bus, which in turn could bring them to any shop around in Tralee within the space of a half an hour or an hour. This needs to be used as a full capacity to reduce the number of vehicles coming in and out and constantly going around the town. You have people that would travel from the top of Oak Park, as I said, where people live, and the Tralee People's Bus has that connectivity above there. Yes, there's lack of bus signs, there's lack of advertising, but that needs to be worked upon as well. And if you have that type of service, where people know that there's a bus stop there, and the Tralee People's Bus could gather them and take them over to Manor or take them downtown, that needs to be enhanced and progressed in such a way that each of the connections between Éireann Road, Éireann and the Tralee Bus Service and further private bus services could come on board.
Okay, that's all right. Independent Thomas Bickelstrom, what's your view?
Yeah, you have the Tralee People's Bus, of course, and they're providing a good service, but I suppose this service could be improved, and this service could definitely be enhanced. And with other bus service providers, I think that we need connectivity to the rural villages and parishes surrounding Tralee Town. This is very important for places like Ardfert and Fianna and Brenneville, Corraheen, and all the different villages and parishes surrounding Tralee Town. This will be important for the people, especially especially that are older people and people with disabilities in particular. And it's important too for Tralee Town, because Tralee Town needs a vibrant town centre and it needs footfall. So I think everybody needs to work together in Tralee. You have like the council officials, councillors, the business people and the chamber and the bus service providers as well, and Bus Éireann.
And that needs to happen. Okay. All right. We're going to move on. We have another issue to get to here, and this is to do with, I suppose, the issue that affects a lot of business, a lot of towns. And coincidentally, as things stand, there is 6.4 million euros being announced this morning for Cathair Savine under the town regeneration, town centre regeneration project. One of the issues coming out of the Tralee Chamber Alliance survey of their members was the town centre first policy. And this is where you would see local authorities hire a town centre first or a town regeneration officer to try and tackle issues to do with dereliction and vagrancy and trying to enliven and, you know, re-energise town centres across the county. Now, it's good news for Cathair Savine. I'm not sure the 6 million coming for Tralee anytime soon, but one of the issues of the members felt that this wasn't working. It's been announced 2 years ago. It isn't having an impact. A majority, a vast majority of them felt the Town Centre First wasn't doing enough, and a lot of them actually said they weren't even aware what Town Centre First was. Mikey Sheehy, is that a failure of the council to try and explain and get the message out there as to what's happening? This is not just to do with business, it's about people living in towns as well. And this line from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil governments over recent years that they're going to regenerate, they're going to get people living over the business premises and create a community in town centres that empty out after 6 o'clock in the evening. So what have you failed, and what are you going to do now to deliver for Tralee in this area?
No, I don't think we failed. To be honest with you, and in all fairness, I have to take my hat off to the Tralee Chamber Alliance in terms of how proactive they've been in terms of prioritising our town centre in Tralee. I suppose there's a number of different key stakeholders.
77% felt that Town Centre First Initiative, yep, not doing enough to support local businesses.
Yeah, so a proposal that I brought to the Tralee Municipal District as soon as 2 weeks ago was actually specific to our future in Tralee and how we can proactively both promote and develop the Tralee Town Centre. So as a number of other individuals have alluded to already, there's been a huge level of investment in Tralee over the last 10 years. Just over 60 million euros has been invested in our town centre through public funding over the last number of years. It's an unprecedented level of investment.
Yeah.
And our town centre does look great, and I think it is now becoming a welcoming space that businesses can thrive and people want to visit and want to spend money in, and that's the key point. But I suppose the proposal that I brought to Tralee Municipal District 2 weeks ago was that we look further into the future, and I'm looking for Tralee to have a plan for 2035 and a future vision for Tralee that's encompassing all of our key stakeholders: Tralee Municipal District, Tralee Chamber Alliance, Tidy Towns, community groups, sports clubs. It's about creating a space in Tralee and developing a space in Tralee and developing the Tralee brand that will allow the town to develop. Yes, there is an issue in around vacancy and dereliction in the town. Like most other towns, yeah, of a similar size, it's not just specific to Tralee. Obviously, we've had the Croí Cruinnithe grant rollout, which is an offering of up to €70,000 to tackle vacancy and dereliction. The uptake has been quite good. Obviously, there's been quite a bit of red tape in and around that grant. Issues that I brought to the Minister specifically were in and around how possibly individuals and businesses could draw down funds as opposed to waiting for one lump sum payment at the end of the works. Obviously, there have been issues. I think it's going to be addressed and reviewed. I think it's a great grant, and it has brought back both housing and commercial spaces back into use. I even see it down Rock Street. There's a premises that was lying idle for the bones of, I'd say, 40 years, Kelleher's, alongside the Old Oak Bar. That has now been regenerated into two self-contained apartment units. That wouldn't have happened, I don't think, without the Croí Cruinnithe grant. So, yes, there are issues. There's no point in saying otherwise, but we're looking at dealing with those issues in Tralee and creating that brand and promoting Tralee as a great place to visit, work.
Paul Daly, Sinn Féin, this is a programme announced by government. A lot of the businesses in Tralee saying they don't even know what it means 2 years on.
Yeah, well, going back, there's a couple of issues. Okay, first of all, I took a walk there down Borby and Castle Street on Saturday morning. I counted 12 or 13 empty premises. So there needs to be an incentive there for empty buildings to be filled. It has a very depressive effect on the businesses who are struggling to survive as it is. And you can see when...
Would you tax the owners or would you give them incentive? Stick or carrot?
I think it needs to be a bit of both. I think if you've... There are some buildings down there that have been empty for years And that's not good for local business. It's as I said, a depressive effect on other businesses in the area. So there needs to be some kind of incentive whereby that if a premises is empty for 12 months or more, maybe they should start paying rents or rates. Again, talking to business people, when Elvery's opened up a couple of years ago, the impact that had in the local area there on the other businesses was amazing. So when you open up new businesses, it has a very, very positive effect. I think the pedestrianisation of the town centre has been fantastic as well. It's been nice and safe. It looks really good. Again, it's about increasing the footfall, and you can do that if you fill those empty premises. A lot of work has been done. The different stakeholders, Chamber Alliance, County Council, the artwork up in the streets, even simple things like that make a huge, huge
difference.
Lots
of bold stuff that local authority can do. Okay, and London, what's your response? And this, and I don't want to drag the whole courthouse and play it all out here for the next hour on this, but that's part of the discussion about what's happening to the town centre. With the improvements, and there has been money put in, is Tralee getting it right? Is there too much paperwork, or what needs to be done with Town Centre First to improve things?
I think it's really disappointing to hear that the Town Centre's First policy is being misinterpreted, and or it, there isn't enough information available in an accessible format for business owners to understand the potential impact that this policy can bring. Yes, the courthouse is an example of how we're essentially seeking to neglect our heritage. My dad's an archaeologist. He's been very involved in preserving the heritage of this town for many decades, and to see us dismissing our heritage, which is what people come to the town to see. It's why they come into the town centre. It's about being a destination in its own right.
Yeah. Let me ask you, like, you can argue that the Island of Geese is still the town centre. It's not the same as Ash Street, or would it be a bigger thing and a bigger issue that the local authority needs to get better, or state bodies work? If you are doing something like that, if you're emptying out that beautiful historic building, that you don't wait for it to be empty, you come up with a plan on the ground, and the officials of the council should be working ahead of time on this. Very often we see the plan is to move it, and then we'll get around in 12 months time to whatever the plan might be, and the building is falling down.
Yeah, and you see it with the Kerry Protestant Hall. It's sitting there idle for I don't know how long at this point. No plan around it. It's a beautiful building and would make an incredible space. If the courthouse were to move, and let's not dwell too much on the courthouse, but if the courthouse were to move, there would be a plan will come up after it. There's already notions about it becoming an art space, but there's no actual plan. How are we going to maintain such a significant building if the council take it into ownership?
Yeah.
We talked about vacancy and dereliction. If you look at the Kerry County Council website and you look at the list of vacant and derelict sites register, it's empty. So why is that empty? Because the council potentially don't have enough resources to go and tackle this. If you walk around Tralee Town Centre today, as Paul mentioned, you will see empty buildings, you will see dereliction, you will see the roof falling in some places. That just as you approach the Island of Geese across from the Kerry School of Music, there's a roof falling in one of the buildings there. But that's not on the register. Like, I don't get it. Do the council not have enough money to fund these people? And if they don't, why isn't that being addressed in the council budget?
Okay.
There's a load of issues like that aren't being addressed, and that needs a bit of energy and
I'll
commitment.
Let you back in. Angie Bailey, what's your response on this? Finnegan have been in power a long time, and this Town Centre First policy, all bells and whistles 2 years ago announced, and yet it's not having the impact.
Okay, thanks, Gerry. I think that if the business is saying that it's not having an impact, then there has to be a problem with communication somewhere. And oftentimes we see these policies that tend to be top down as opposed to bottom up. I'm a big believer in bottom up policy. You know, if you think of those machines that we used to throw money into with that claw that would grab a teddy, it never got the teddy. That's bottom down. If you plant a seed in the ground, you will get flowers, you will get something from it. We need to find out exactly from the businesses what will support them, what they need. If you have a problem, you can say to the businesses, look, this is the problem, come to us with the solutions. You work with those solutions. For some of them, depending on the area, depending on the business they offer, they might all have different ideas about what works for them. These then need to be analysed and put into an actual practicable format so that the businesses then, knowing what will help them, can build on that. And that then, if the businesses know what will work, I mean, they see the footfall, they know what times of year work, what times of the day are good. And this, I think it has to be about communication, okay. Bottom-up policy.
Okay, Tom McKellison, what would your answer be here in relation to trying to revitalise the town centres, get that communication going, get people living in Tralee Town Centre again?
Yeah, the Kerry County Council, they'll have to purchase a lot of the vacant or derelict houses, I believe, and refurbish them and give them out to young and new families who badly need accommodation. We all see vacant town centre properties and shops and businesses, and basically we have to fill them. And I think it's important for everybody to work together in that regard, whether it is the council officials, councillors, business people, the chamber and business people. And I think, you know, we need to go to a person probably and just have somebody there in the county council, like a Tralee town officer.
Well, that's the plan, and this plan is a regeneration officer hired to do this work.
But it would give it focus, I think, you know, and we need to put emphasis. You know, Tralee town was a very vibrant town years ago. I think it's lost a little bit, I suppose, of its heart and its soul, and that needs to be brought back, I think, like it was years ago. And maybe we have to look at, you know, traffic and maybe parking spaces and maybe free parking times for staggered hours for certain times during the year, whether that would attract more people into the town and the centre of town also.
Okay, Ben Slim.
Yeah, Gerry, there's an old adage in politics: when you're explaining, you're losing. And it sounds like town centre first, there's a lot of explaining going on. This policy has been lauded as being the best thing that's ever going to happen to our town centres. And one thing that hasn't been discussed in length here really is the accommodation crisis. And I suppose
we are getting to that.
Yeah, but I suppose the town centre first was supposed to solve that. If you walk down Denny Street, there are plenty of old apartments above those buildings that are lying idle. And I think that we need to look at bringing people to live back into our town centre. I think with people living in our town centre, you drive down Tralee at 7 o'clock this evening, there'll be no traffic down there because there'll be nobody around and it's gone very quiet. And of course, that does breed then into antisocial behaviour.
Yeah.
So I think we need to... Maybe town centre first doesn't seem to be working. Maybe we need to, as Angie said, look at a bottom up and start looking about how we can encourage people. Because you mentioned earlier about the stick and the carrot for these landlords of these vacant properties. And I, in my opinion, there has been an offer of carrot after carrot after carrot after carrot over the last 5 years.
For landlords, really?
Well, to try and get these vacant properties.
Tax at almost 50%?
To try and get these vacant...
Regulation from the RTB that's strangling them and sending them fleeing?
Look, at the end of the day, we're talking about commercial properties here, Gerry, in the town centre. These commercial properties are lying idle. There's tax implications for the properties being idle that we all are aware of. And I think we need to actually be aware of the people that own these properties. So the vacant properties register shouldn't just publish that they're derelict or vacant. It should also publish the landlord's, the owner's name and owner's details so that we can actually understand who owns most of Tralee and who is letting these properties lie idle and for what reason are they lying idle. Because there's more to the story than they're just not being able to get businesses into them.
Yeah, okay. Sammy Locke, your response on this one?
Well, I suppose like that, ignorance is bliss, but we've been working, collaborating with a lot of business people in the Tralee town centre with projects there in revitalisation, regeneration of the vacant buildings, i.e. you have a new hotel, you have Val's, you have McCaffrey's, you have New Place on Bridge Street, you have Quinlan's that has been developed. There are a lot of good business people outside there willing to drive and the initiative. We now see inside in the town square where overhead apartments are being developed, which is fantastic. That drive has to come across to other business owners, i.e. Doncaster Street.
Yeah,
and
the
along
eastern
that,
side of the town.
Yes, yes.
That not must have, done according
we
to
have business owners, as it was pointed out earlier on, that have allowed those businesses collapse and lie empty for over 30 years, Jerry.
Yeah.
Which is scandalous. You ask the question, should they be penalised? Of course they should be penalised. These are buildings that have gone into a derelict site. And put a derelict site notice on them, and that might, it might encourage them to get up off their backsides and get involved.
Very often there, that process, though, takes 12,
well,
there, 2
there
years
There is a process
alone,
there, but there is assistance there, Jolly. We have assistance. Properties that are vacant, and through the I suppose, the good thought of the Tralee Urban District Council at the time, the rates that were attributed to businesses that were willing to open up again, that they were not smacked straight on with a massive rate.
Yeah.
It was harmonised over a 4 or 5 year period.
To encourage them to get up and running.
And it went and it continued. Some have succeeded, others didn't bother, and they collapsed under not proper management. But there is that opportunity outside there for the business people that own these properties to get involved and rate and rent properly. And I can see some progression going in from that side of the town all the way down. Okay. You have the sorry, Jerry, before I finish, you have phase three now that's coming into play shortly this year in around the Garda Barracks there and Lower Rock Street. You're going to have development within the Isle of Geese. And I mean, there is that opportunity again for more businesses to drive and get involved. But they have to get involved, Jerry. It isn't just down to us councillors. They've got to get up off their backsides and speak to us, and we'll sit down around the table with them and get things right.
Okay, all right, we're going to talk more. I'll let you in again on this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be talking about the issue of housing in Tralee as it relates to that discussion we've just had as well, because there's lots of comments coming in. We'll get to those from our debate. This is our Tralee electoral area debate live at the Belfry in the Ballycity Castle Hotel with thanks to Tralee Chamber Alliance in partnership with CSG. Jerry, does any representative support the idea mooted for last year for the Rose Arena, says Michelle Moriarty in Tralee. We might come to the Rose if we've time before the end of the debate. Donal in Tralee gets in touch with a question to candidates regarding amenities and attractions in the area. He asks, has any consideration been given to revitalising the Venerville train to the windmill? He believes it's a fantastic amenity which always attracted school tours and tourism to the area. Have any of the candidates this or similar plans to boost tourism for Tralee? There's been a couple of motions about that over the last few years. Hi, I'm a youth group volunteer. I would like to add that youth groups and activities do more than just divert potential antisocial behaviours. Young people who avail of these things show their peers that alternatives exist and are some of the best ways at rallying other people away from drugs and other antisocial behaviour. Regarding the lack of public toilets in Tralee, this listener says ones that are there are far too far away from the centre. The old shopping centre, the Russell Arcade, is not being properly used either. The whole top area is vacant. The square is dangerously slippy with wet weather too, and I welcome the bus service idea. And regarding provision of activities for youths in Tralee, it's imperative that not just solely focus on sports. One interesting idea might be a men's shed model for younger people, where they could have to learn woodcraft and carpentry and other trades would be a fabulous intergenerational idea also, where the young and young at heart could all learn from each other. Okay, that's some of the views coming into us on the programme. We're going to talk about the issue of housing now. There are over 2,300 people awaiting social housing in the Tralee Municipal District. That's a combination of people from other municipal districts who have indicated that the MD is one of their areas of choice. Excluding those transfers, there's around about 1,100 people or 1,200 people awaiting social housing in the area. 1,217 people are awaiting one-bed units in the Tralee MD, while a further 624 are waiting for two-bed houses. 397 are seeking three-bed units, and 80 awaiting four-bed home, and 12, I should say, waiting for a five-bed house. In addition to that, we have a situation whereby we have an ever-increasing, I suppose, and I know it's an issue that is being battled and tackled, but there are 49 vacant properties in the Tralee Municipal District in the Council's possession. Figures were presented most recently to Sinn Féin Councillor Cathal Foley, and 41 of them are part of the 2024 Voids programme. The issue of housing, and Derek, we touched on it already, Councillor Mikey Sheehy, what's your view on what we're not doing right and what would be done the next 5 years if you get elected to tackle this problem?
So look,
I'm aware as well it's a national issue, so
absolutely,
so much you can do.
Kerry County Council and the Tralee Municipal District has a role to play in this. There's no two ways about that. It's probably been the biggest topic that I've been hearing on the doorsteps from my canvas over the last 2 or 3 months. And I suppose, look, you've alluded to the provision of social housing in the Tralee Municipal District and the waiting list that is there. Now, I do have to say, in terms of a municipal district, we are actually an outlier in terms of how we've provided for and how we've made provisions in terms of social housing over the last 5 years. We've had sites in Lower Cannon, Conley Park, Listlouse, all developed and delivered over the last 5 years. We're actually only at phase one in Lower Cannon. There's a larger land bank out there that will see further development towards the end of this year. Now, what I'm hearing on the doorsteps, for the most part, is individuals who cannot get on the housing ladder, who cannot get on the social housing supports because they're earning too much money, but they're also struggling to get a mortgage. And that's where affordable housing comes in, and that's something that I've been pushing for over the last 5 years, and I've been pushing Kerry County Council and holding council management to task on. And there's a great scheme out there currently where a council can take a 30% equity stake in a house where an individual goes to a private developer and has an appropriate scheme in hand. That's the squeeze that's on there. Housing is not going to be a simple fix. We do, however, have an opportunity over the next 6 months in the Tralee Municipal District. Our local area plan is coming up and the draft will hopefully be published midway through this summer. Now, what I am calling for from both the Planning Department and the Housing Department in Kerry County Council is ambition. We are on the cusp of a huge development in Tralee Town with the arrival of the Estellas plant. It's a €330 million development on the site alongside MTU, alongside Alderwood Road. It's going to be an area where we're going to have now high-paying jobs. First time in a long time that a factory of this size has reached Tralee. But now the Municipal District and Kerry County Council and us as councillors need to hold Kerry County Council to task and look for that ambition in terms of housing, in terms of zoning of appropriate lands, to give property providers that opportunity to make provisions both in social and affordable housing space, but also in terms of private development.
Okay.
That's something
okay.
that we haven't had.
And Lon, probably the biggest challenge, if you're elected to Kerry County Council, will be preparing DMD for the arrival of the Estellas plant and the needed staff accommodation and other infrastructure to accommodate it successfully.
Indeed, yeah. My father and my brother are actually currently working up at the Estellas plant area to get it prepared for construction. We have, I suppose, a focus of late of developing housing outside of the town centre, and that's not directly or having as positive an impact it could have for local businesses as we would like to see. I mean, absolutely, we need social and affordable housing. I think that development in Lower Cannon is welcome, but I think we need to be looking at the brownfield sites in the middle of town that can be repurposed. Close to Estellas, I mean, you've got the entire Clash area, which has been sitting idle for a long time. The Chamber made an excellent submission to the County Development Plan recently in 2022, and they called for the Clash area to be given a lot more attention. So yeah. there's something that can be done around the zoning there. And as has been referenced earlier on, the amount of vacancy above ground floor in our town centre is appalling. We are what should be. We are a college town now,
yeah.
Since the establishment of MTU, and we need those people living in the middle of town. We need those students who will bring the nighttime economy back to the town centre yeah. during the week, and not to be living out in student accommodation on the periphery of the town, when no public bus service exists, when there's no easy way to get into town. You can't cycle; it's not safe. We need to be getting these people living in the town centre, and tackling the above shop vacancy is absolutely critical.
Okay, Ben Slim, what's your view on that? The MTU are looking to try and build their own accommodation. Will that be out on site, or will they look at the town, or what's your view, what needs to be done to solve the housing issue? 70-80% 1 and 2 bed units, that kind of means apartments, doesn't it, and overshop living?
Yeah, it does. And I suppose just to humanise some of those figures, my own an example that we see time and time and again, my own mother lives in a 3-bedroomed council house as a disabled person. She has been looking for the last 3 years to downsize. She can't downsize because there isn't the properties available. So there's a family missing out on a 3-bedroomed house that's available because my mom can't find somewhere. There's nowhere for her to move in a smaller unit.
Is that an example of a broken system?
Absolutely.
There?
And I think the system is broken when we decided that we were going to end the provision of the council planning, organising, buying and also building its own properties. Everything is now outsourced, and I think that situation has led to something costs more to the state. We lose jobs because we had people employed within our council to deliver on our local projects. Those jobs are gone, and I think the conversation never revolves around putting things back that worked. We were at our best when we built massive developments through our county council like Brendan's Park in Tralee. We were at our best when we built Casements View in Ardfert. We did those things, we can do it again, but putting everything into private developers' pockets is just not working. They're saying they're not getting a big enough return when they build reasonably priced accommodation, but I would not say that that's reasonably priced accommodation. The other issue we have, and there's two other key issues I want to touch on, Gerry, about the housing crisis. The first one is rents in Tralee. Tralee is a rent pressure zone. You cannot simply say, and the government needs to declare it, and I think where we have a problem is where we elect our politicians nationally. We continually elect landlords into Dáil Éireann, and I think turkeys don't vote for Christmas.
Is that not the vote? Voters elect.
Well,
we elect.
The voters know absolutely.
The voters
the people.
Exactly
we,
who they are.
When
they
I
decide,
said we,
I want this person there best to represent me.
But how many of our politicians stand up and say, "I own 20 properties in this area and I charge X amount of rent for them"?
Well,
it's all hidden in their SIPO returns.
They all declare what they are, and it's quite visible.
Do.
And they have SIPO returns that anybody
absolutely.
Can check. And to suggest, I think you're being unfair. To suggest just because someone's a landlord, they're going to vote in self-interest is unfair.
Well,
unfair.
Okay, let's look. I think it's entirely fair.
They're trying to help people in the housing list the same as councillors trying to help people.
I think it's entirely fair, and I think my point is turkeys don't
vote for
Christmas.
So should landlords be banned from the Dáil?
No, absolutely not. I don't think
and
so.
And publicans.
But I think that we should look at some system.
Who
there
would
needs
you have
to be,
left?
There needs to be a system where we can actually trust that decisions being made about rent are made fairly. We need to make sure that isn't left in the hands of Dáil Éireann, because we need to have someone adjudicating and saying Tralee is now a rent pressure zone. My mortgage is €580 a month for a three-bedroomed house in Lee Drive. There's a house directly across from me that hasn't had a moment's renovation since the developer left it in 2006, and that's being rented for €1,850 per month. Are you telling me that the landlord of that property is being fair to the people living in that house?
Well, he's paying half of it in tax.
Well, he's paying half of it in tax, but how much of it is covering his mortgage? Like, he's making this, the investment in property is causing huge problems for people who are trying to get a start out there, and that needs to be tackled. And thirdly, Airbnb. The fact that I know people that have built houses and moved out of town and their old property is now a permanent Airbnb. That needs to be stopped, and that's a planning issue, and we really need to get to tackle that.
So you're in
that.
Favour of what the plan is for that as well, to register and prevent planning for Airbnb?
Absolutely. I think Airbnb has decimated our housing stock.
Okay, talking about the issue of housing, and I want to go to Paul Daly of Sinn Féin next. Paul, your party's promising a lot at a national level. What will you do at a local level to try and solve Tralee's housing problems?
Okay, first of all, it's not just Tralee, it's the Tralee
yes.
MD.
Yeah.
So you've out in Fianna. You can't build any more houses out there until they have a water treatment scheme. Artford, there's no zoned land out there for more development, so that needs to be zoned. This crisis has been building since 2011. The council stopped building houses. Okay, so you had some houses have been sold off and they weren't being replaced. So this is a crisis in the making for the last 13 years. What are Sinn Féin going to do about it? Well, locally, we need to turn around much quicker the 49 voids that are already there. Okay, the council needs to look after the houses that it currently has in its stock. I've been around canvassing, there's people living in houses that are substandard. They need to be upgraded. They need to be, you know, there's damp, there's different things, issues that they have. The council needs to look after that. More land needs to be zoned. Obviously, more houses need to be built. Sinn Féin is the most ambitious plan out of all the parties, the most ambitious plan to get houses built to solve this crisis. And it's not going to be solved overnight. The state needs to purchase land. And I know that's not just a local council issue, but the state needs to purchase and service land so that it can be sold off to people. And this is affecting every strata of society. In every estate I have gone to so far, you have people whose sons and daughters are moving back into their parents' house with their children. It's causing huge stress with people. I've neighbours of mine, their kids have moved back in so they can save up to buy a house. It's just gone ridiculous. The average age, 20 years ago, people buying houses was about 25. Now it's gone up to 35. It's a joke. Rents, I visited one lady when I was out canvassing. Her rent has gone from 650 to 1,300. She's living on her own. She can't find a one or two bedroom apartment that she would gladly move into. That's effectively an eviction if her rent is going to be doubled up like that. So the council needs to, first of all, it needs to do up the houses, the voids. There needs to be a much quicker turnaround. I think it's about 22 months when a house is vacated. Those voids need to be turned around. And more state, more social and socially and affordable houses needs to be built.
Okay, Angie Bailey, what's your response?
Thanks, Gerry. I think, again, there's several different aspects to this. Within the town, there are so many derelict properties. I've met people, women with newborns, and they're happy to move into any kind of house and paint it themselves. They don't need it refurbished. But moving outside of the town, then, we need to look at planning levels to include the rural areas where you have generations living, like Paul just mentioned, with their parents. They may have land and they're being refused planning. Some sites, so this is, I think, three specific areas. There's some sites that are already ready, but being refused planning. This is connected to water, connected to the sewerage. Everything is done, refused planning, because it's seen as outside the town area.
Yeah.
You have other areas then, say when I was out canvassing along the Castle Main Road, out towards Derrymore, and even out in Ballymac, where you have families and they're being refused planning. Now, I mean, when you refuse planning here, you may be saying, saying it's the number of road on the cars, but what you're doing is decimating communities, and we need to be looking more at that.
It's part of the problem, though, that the power to make decisions that was taken off the council. Irish Water was set up, it's all Irish Water's decision, they make the decisions now, you've no influence.
Yeah, absolutely, and actually Irish Water, the number of complaints from people within estates who can't have their council estates taken over by the council because of issues with Uisce Éireann. I mean, it's with Irish Water, it's absolutely phenomenal. Even, you know, back in Finnish, I think the lighthouse village, they're not connected to the main sewage system. How is this allowed?
Yeah.
I mean, where was the planning in this? I mean, sometimes if you look down, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. If the pieces don't fit, then they're obviously in the wrong place. And I just wonder where the consultation was in areas like this in terms of planning and keeping communities alive. Who is making these decisions?
Okay.
It's certainly not the local councillors here. And sorry, Gerry, one more point. We also have then an estate in Ballinorig, an unfinished estate, and the residents were promised when they moved into this estate that it would be finished. And they have wire now in front of their houses, beautiful land in behind it, and nothing being done.
In the middle of a housing crisis.
We have the property, we have the resources, we need to sit down, we need to work on communication and make correct decisions.
Sam Locke, what's your response?
Well, certainly about the housing crisis, we have been in the Tralee Municipal District very positive in relation to the building of houses over the last 5 years. You've got new houses, Carrageen, Cograts, Connolly Park, Lower Cannon, Phase 1 done, Ballyrickard, Ardfert, Clwyd Apartments in the Mitchells Road. You've got Matt Talbot Road, 27 apartments to be completed 2025, Gary Route, 18 houses to be built and finished in 2025.
What needs to be done in the next 5 years?
What we are getting, we have landowners in around from Anna to Drumthacker that are waiting for zoning. We have developers, and I've had developers come to my clinic crying out they're shovel-ready land ready for development. An indicator that I suppose of that this year alone we could have had 700 houses started, but the fallback and the throwback from the executive there not to allow us the Tralee area plan meeting to go ahead before this election is kind of a kick in the teeth. You've had it in Kinmare. The planning regulator is now objecting to the plannings that they try to incorporate. We have the same issue here in Tralee itself. We have the land. We have people willing to rezone the land for development of homes. But we have planning problems above in Dublin, but we have planning problems here as well, Jolly. But we are progressive. As I pointed out to you, there are lock shops apartments, there's Krugratz apartments. A lot of homes are going to be built, and it's going to have an impact. But bear this in mind, Jolly. For maybe the 1,000 houses that are going to be put away in the next 2 years, there's another 1,000 coming on the list.
Yeah.
We have families that have now moved back with their own families into their parents' house,
yeah,
because they cannot afford the rent structure.
Okay. And I want to bring Tom McKellison quickly and this. Tom McKellison, your response.
Yeah, housing is the biggest issue we're getting on those doorsteps, definitely. I suppose, look, if I'm elected, I would pursue the acceleration of the housing programme for Tralee and its environs. Provision of social and affordable housing, I think, is the number one priority. There's huge numbers on the waiting list, like you said, Gerry, 2,330. And then you have people leasing, people on the RES scheme, people on the HAP scheme. People want houses and homes, and I suppose especially our young people, because the young people will never be able to buy a house. Young people don't have a home and are moving back home, like other councillors said there. 75% of the young people are considering leaving or immigrating due to the high rents and lack of housing. We do have in Tralee exorbitant prices to purchase or rent houses. We have the homeless with 13,000 in Ireland, and 4,000 of these are children. I believe the government basically has lost its dignity on this issue in particular, and we need to speed up the turnaround time for vacant houses and council houses for new families. The council should purchase vacant or derelict houses and refurbish them and do them up for new families. And for example, we mentioned about the town centre properties there and places over shops, etc. The government need to really get a grip on the housing crisis, I believe. and give people encouragement to stay in the country. We see the brain drain and a lot of our young people and professionals, example nurses and that are leaving. I think the biggest mistake that this government made was during the COVID time to stamp the building industry, because we were building 30,000 houses a year, so we're behind by 60,000 nationally, so we're playing catch up now. And I think that was a retrograde step, when in the other European countries they left the building industry an open air activity, an outdoor activity, which was very safe.
Okay.
The planning regulations need to be relaxed to probably speed things up and help the situation, and more land needs to be zoned for housing.
Okay, we're nearly out of time here in Kerry today from the Belfry at Ballyseedy Castle, our debate with Tralee local electoral candidates, Tralee Chamber Alliance in partnership with CSG. I'm going to ask you a brief question and a brief response, please. It's one of the issues you have power over. It's the local property tax. Several times for Kerry County Council over the last number of years, issues have come up with the council executive looking for an increase in the property tax in order to fund local services or maybe an enterprise project. Some vote for or some vote against. What would your response be if we'll give an example of in your enterprise or an improvement in services that would improve Tralee Town Centre was being looked at, money increased to try and attract money nationally or maybe even from Europe to try and get it over the line, would you vote in favour or against? Mikey Shee, I'll start with you.
I think that's actually a really important question, and to be honest with you, I think a lot of the issues in and around the local property tax are probably in and around the lack of transparency as to where the money actually goes. I think the more people get engaged, the more they know where the money goes, the likes of dredging a Fianna Harbour, that €60 million investment in Tralee, the fact that it supports grants for elderly people and persons with disabilities, and also the community support fund, which pumps money back into Tralee and back into Kerry. So I think we need a little bit more transparency in and around where the money actually goes.
But it's generally in favour.
I can see on the ground the impact that the funding has, and it's one of our last powers really at local government. So yes, I do. I agree.
Okay, Paul Daly.
I do. The local property tax has to go. Okay, that needs to be reduced gradually over a couple of years. It has to go. It was introduced as an austerity measure. It was introduced because 20% funding was cut from county councils about 10 or 11 years ago. When you talk about a crisis, a housing crisis, people who are struggling to pay rents and pay mortgages, and then you're lobbing on a local property tax, it's just not on. People are struggling as it is.
Okay, Ben Slim.
Yeah, Gerry, I suppose it's that point that council reserves have been reduced by central government, and that's what the local property tax is plugging the hole for. In my point of view, a property tax is the only form of wealth tax we can actually have, and I'm totally in favour of the LPT. So yeah, that's my very honest answer.
Okay. Angie Bailey for the Gael.
Thanks, Gerry. I think, yes, I am in agreement, but there needs to be full visibility of where the money is going, consultation with the public on what the money is spent on, visibility on the actual budgetary spendings, and full accountability when this is not, when it doesn't meet the requirements.
Okay. And London, Green Party?
Yeah, Green Party are very much in favour of the local property tax. Similar to Ben, we believe it is the only wealth tax we have in the country. But at the same time, I think it needs to be at a level that's appropriate. But I think funding for local government is broken. We need a different way of getting the council and the businesses to benefit from investment in the town, business improvement district, an EU office to get EU funds into the local economy. And we need to be looking at a national level as to how we fix funding for local government, because at the moment it's completely broken.
Yeah. Sam Locke?
Well, I was totally against it from day one, but certainly it has its benefits since it was introduced. But I've been ongoing calling for reduction, because there is no equilibrium between those that are paying a very high property tax and no services for it. So I will be continuing to monitor what the county manager is coming out with in the next sitting of the new council, whether she's going to look for another 15% increase in it, which I would be totally objecting to.
Okay. Tom McAllister, final word to you.
Yeah, I'll be campaigning for, you know, urgent measures, and like the property tax, to bring relief to the hard-pressed workers and families at the moment with the rise in the cost of living. It's a cost of living crisis, and I believe the property tax needs to be gradually reduced and done away with over time.
Okay, all right, that's your answer from our candidates here in the Belfry, the Ballyseedy Castle Hotel at our Kerry Today debate. My thanks to Councillor Mikey Shee of Fianna Fáil, Councillor Sam Locke, Independent, Councillor, I should say, Fine Gael candidate Angie Bailey, Ben Slim from Labour, Thomas McAllistrum Independent, Paul Daly from Sinn Féin, and Anne-Lon Dunn of the Green Party, and the other members who are people who are looking for your vote on June the 7th for Tralee is Anne O'Sullivan of Fianna Fáil, Terry O'Brien, Councillor Terry O'Brien of Labour, Sinead Donnelly of Fine Gael, Councillor Cathal Foley of Sinn Féin, Councillor Deirdre Ferris of Sinn Féin, Paddy Cavan of Sinn Féin, Mysterio Oyabanji from the Social Democrats, Jacob Sweeney of the National Party, and running as an independent under the Irish People Party, Eddie O'Grady. We will be hearing from some of those candidates between now and June 7th, so we're not done with Tralee as of yet. Other issues will be coming up. We'll be talking to some of those candidates over the next while. My thanks to the team who are here. My thanks to the team at the Ballyseedy Castle Hotel. A brilliant job. And to the Tralee Chamber Alliance as well for all of their support, and CSG to make this morning happen. Hope it informed you.